Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Investigators are piecing together the shooter's steps yesterday at Utah Valley University following the fatal shooting of conservative commentator Charlie Kirk. The FBI released images of a person of interest, and authorities found a weapon near the campus. Before leaving the White House for New York City to attend a Yankees game on 9/11, President Trump asked if he thought the person the FBI is searching for is an assassin.
I'd rather not say. I think progress is being made. He's an animal, total animal. And hopefully they'll have him and they'll get him. What he did is disgraceful. Charlie Kirk was a great person, a great man, great in every way, especially with youth.
Earlier, President Trump delivered remarks at the Pentagon honoring victims of the September 11th attacks. Ceremonies were also held in New York City and Pennsylvania. Americans paid more for nearly everything in August, with inflation ticking upward from last year. This is ABC News.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, filling in for James Kelly. Middle schoolers in Hayward were put on lockdown Tuesday because a student brought a weapon to school. That's according to reporting from the Sawyer County Record. The paper reports Superintendent Mark Berquist says someone reported a possible weapon on campus and administrators immediately contacted police. When authorities got there, they confirmed a student did indeed have a weapon, although they didn't say what type of weapon. The school was reportedly on a soft lockdown for about 20 minutes. Berquist says the student was removed from campus and will face disciplinary action, although he said he couldn't release any more information due to student privacy. And the opposition to a data center in Menominee is growing. A movement called Stop the Data Center has gotten bigger, reports WQOW. There's a Facebook page with more than 8,000 members. People have put signs in their yards, and there's even a billboard now, too. Menominee City Council member Matthew Crow told the station, quote, "The data center at this point is not coming at this time," end quote. But residents say they want more transparency from the city council. Last month, the city of Menominee released a fact sheet that said the data center would cost $1.2 billion to build and the construction would create 1,000 jobs. And police at UW-Eau Claire say keeping unlocked bikes out as bait has worked. Back in 2018, university police started equipping some bikes with GPS trackers. They're left unlocked around campus, ready for thieves to take the bait instead of stealing property from students. At orientation, students are told about the program, and they even get stickers for their own bikes that say this may be a bait bike with the police department's logo on it. Over the last 2.5 years, 24 bicycles have been stolen on campus, and more than half of them were the department's bait bikes. Police recommend students document their bike's serial number. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, filling in for James Kelly. You're listening to Civic Media News.
The Packers in prime time. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Lambeau Field in Green Bay, where the Packers play the Washington Commanders tonight. Green Bay 3-point favorites to win. Jordan Love asks if he likes playing in night games.
I like playing in whatever game. You know, no matter what game it is, I'm ready. Obviously, we don't get to, you know, pick and choose which games are prime time, things like that. But, man, every game is an opportunity to go out there and win the game. So it doesn't matter when it is, what time, where we're playing at. You know, I'm ready for each game.
Baseball, the Brewers headed home. They open a series tomorrow night in Milwaukee against the St. Louis Cardinals after being swept by the Rangers. Final score yesterday, 6-3. Pat Murphy.
I'm still proud of our guys. I love our guys. It's not lack of effort, guys. It's not letting down. It's maybe the opposite. They're exhausted. We're beat up. We're injured. And things did not go our way this week. You guys saw it. You know, that has to happen sometimes in baseball.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, patchy fog by dawn and lows in the mid-50s. Turning mostly sunny for tomorrow, highs warmer, low 80s. Slight storm chance Friday night, 80s continue with sunshine this weekend. Another storm chance Sunday night and Monday. Currently it's 72 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Joseph Pecky.
As much as I disagreed with Charlie Kirk, no American should ever face physical violence for what they believe. And Maybe that's how we get past it and move forward, is just say, this is not about, we can't get to a period of political violence. We're in one, and now we got to get out of it. And we have to recognize each other's humanity.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local civic media radio station.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Political editor Dan Schaefer will be in to recombobulate, and we'll review the Packers Thursday night football game. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who considers a silver medal a participation award, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night. Folks, consider this across the state. Consider this a Packer pregame. Because I know everybody wants to watch the Packers. Not everybody, actually, but some people. So we hope you join us for a little while. In the meantime, we have a great show tonight. When I say we, I don't mean Conrad and me. I mean the wonderfully talented Amanda Nimmer, who is filling in for Conrad tonight. Hi, Amanda.
Huzzah.
How are you?
Not too bad. How are you?
I haven't seen you in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Did you recognize me when I came in?
I did.
Without the mustache and the sideburns?
I didn't even notice the sideburns.
Well, I was joking, obviously. These aren't great sideburns. These are just like incidental sideburns,
as,
I think.
As long as you don't go too far with your sideburn journey.
What's too far?
Too far is when you let them keep growing and then they become mutton chops.
Conrad said recently he was going to grow mutton chops, and I didn't believe him. I don't think he can.
He should.
Yeah.
I think he could do it.
He could pull the look off, but he said he doesn't get like facial hair in that area.
Mm.
And sometimes guys get, you know, different, I don't know.
Well, November is almost here. So no shave November.
Is that no beard November or something like that?
It's no shave November.
No shave November.
Mm-hmm.
Can I not shave my armpits or my legs? Is that what you're telling me?
Why are you doing that now?
Well, it's the winter's coming up, and I like to tan. I've never been to a tanning bed. I don't tan at all. Do you tan?
No. I've seen Final Destination. No.
What happened in Final Destination?
Oh,
did
my
I miss
God.
This?
I think it's the first one or the second one where they lock the girls in the tanning bed.
Oh, and then they like melt or something.
Yeah, no.
What do? They just get a really ridiculously evenly balanced tan and look like dynamite?
Sure, that's the alternative ending.
Are you a horror fan? You kind of are.
Kind of. I'm a horror fan, but I'm not a gore fan. Like, okay. Just, you know, slasher flicks, not
that
really.
Makes sense.
I care about a story when it comes to movies or TV.
Listen, I get it. I'm totally with you. I can watch a horror film if there is a good story with it, and it's not just gore for gore's sake. So I'm totally with you there. It is great to have you here tonight. Thank you for filling in. I know you have kind of a drive to get here, as do I. And it's great to have you filling in for Con. Conrad is taking some R&R. He is not overstressed at work. He is not, you know, he didn't like need a breather.
He's at the Packer game.
So you can guess this is purely fun on Conrad's point. And good for him. Well deserved. And are you a Packer fan?
No. I mean,
no? Or indifferent?
I'm completely indifferent.
Okay.
I'm not like, I'll go to the games and have a great time. But I don't care outside of that.
You don't care outside? Like, you don't follow them?
I don't follow them. If they're doing well, cool. I'm glad because that means everyone else is very happy. But the second they lose and you go back to work on a Monday, it's like the worst.
Yeah, it is.
No one's happy. And I can't handle that.
My wife is like that. She could not care less about sports. But she shows up on Friday. Everybody's got the jerseys on, and it's all they're talking about. And these are school teachers. And then she shows up Monday, and she's like Sunday night, she's already predicting tomorrow's going to be brutal.
Oh, boy.
Or everybody be in a good mood. So anyway, how have you been? What have I missed about your life? Well, you haven't filled in for Con in quite a while.
No, I haven't. I don't even know the last time I was here, quite honestly. I mean, I was out for medical leave for a while. So, yeah. You know, doing well from that. Other than that, I mean, we missed you at Sputnik Fest.
Listen, I was not invited to Sputnik Fest this year. Sputnik Fest, for those of you who don't know or didn't hear my interview with Greg Vadney recently, who is the director of the RAR West Museum in Manitowoc, they put on Sputnik Fest every year. And it happened last weekend, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Last year, you invited me and Greg invited me to judge the costume contest, which was a blast. The whole thing is a blast. It's just a fun, nutty time. But I will say, your son is kind of like the Michael Jordan of Sputnik Fest kid costume contest.
And he's only 6 years old.
He's got a lot. He's got a lot of contests ahead of him. He took what, second place in the...
I'm sorry, I'm biased, but I think it should have been first. But yes, he took second place. He went this year as a rover.
What is that? Oh, like a lunar rover or
mm-hmm.
something?
As a,
like, did you find a costume like that, or did you make it?
We made it. So my son, he makes all these ideas, and he asks us to make it happen, and we make it happen.
That's so cool.
So he literally rolled into the contest, perhaps crashed into the stage twice. You know, we're just going to...
Irresponsible driving?
Just a little bit. Maybe that's why he got second.
Right.
But no, he had like his car was like all decked out in like cardboard and paint
yeah.
and like this like heated blanket wrapping foil things. And he had like a little box on his head that he could see out of with like little fake cameras on it. And we gave him a little grabber so he could pick up rocks.
So what does that do for him when he takes second?
Mm-hmm.
Does he feel really special? Does he get home that night?
And
does he keep the costume on for a while and just live in the imaginary world a little bit or what?
He loved it. He got great reception from everybody else. And then
nice.
They gave him a $50 gift card for second place. So we went straight to the store and he picked out everything he wanted.
That's a week's worth of gas for the lunar rover.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm very excited for you guys. That's fun. And it's fun as a mom to see that kind of stuff. You know, you just get to live vicariously.
And the kid has no stage fright right now, so.
Well, do you?
No, not so much.
Yeah, you're kind of a speak your mind type.
You gotta be right. Sometimes.
I agree.
And then there are times where you're like, this is when we need to be quiet. It's just not worth it.
I totally agree. Well, it's great to have you here. Amanda Nimmer, folks, give her a shout out. Send us a text. Call in. Say hello. She does a great job, and I always have fun working with her when Conrad cannot be here. So we will get you through this Packer pre-game show known as Nightlight.
Mm-hmm.
You think we could start something there? Or?
I don't think so.
No, I really don't care. I want people who want to talk about movies and TV. I love sports. But it's whoever is here, it's going to be a blast. We are, the phone lines are open, folks. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Always fun when you guys chime in on whatever we're talking about. And we have a really fun show tonight. Joining me, it is Thursday, so that means we're making the popcorn pick of the week at 6:35. My pal, comedian, actor, and now immensely successful artist, Steve Seagrin will be here. I sighed because it drives me crazy. I have all these friends who left comedy, and I have three friends who left comedy and now are successful artists. And on paper, I shouldn't like them for that because that's just too much talent.
Is it?
It is. I couldn't sell a painting, but Steve's great. He does great work, and we'll talk to Steve. He is going to make Steve Seagrin, and he is going to make the popcorn pick of the week. He's going to give us a movie recommendation that you all can check out this weekend.
Here's the thing. If you could be an artist that could sell things, what do you think your medium would be?
I'll tell you what. I like, when it comes to art, and I don't know a ton about art. I took a couple art history classes in college, but I like moments that are captured. So maybe that would lend itself to photography, but I love paintings too, where there's an expression or something or a moment. And it doesn't have to necessarily be people. And Steve's art kind of does this. He captures like a seaside scape, you know, or the corner of a fence with someone in their pool. Like, I like anything that like lets me go and live in that space for a little bit.
You know, there are people who get hired for weddings and they live paint a moment throughout the entirety of it.
I know. Isn't that crazy? I have, I guess he's my aunt's significant other, Elliot Fromm, who does that. He paints with both hands.
Oh, wow.
And he was a Chicago guy, so he would show up at all these sporting events and paint Bulls logos or Bears logos. They moved to Asheville, and now I guess he's painting North Carolina stuff. I don't know, but he's immensely talented. And Steve and I have a mutual friend, Leo Benvenuti, who is also doing very well in the world of art. So anyway, we will talk to Steve about all of this at 6:35. I'll ask Steve what he's watching. Might ask him for a heckler story or a road story maybe. And Steve also made a list, I think it's a working list, where he talks about songs he never has to hear again. And I think that is a perfect segue to our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
All right, this is sort of along what I just said, along Steve's list of making questions or making a list of songs that you never need to hear again. And this is something that happened to me recently. I heard a song in the grocery store, like I always do in Marinette, Wisconsin, and it just bums me out. They're like 1980s B-sides. Like, at least play the hit. Tonight's question, what's the most depressing song you can hear in a grocery store? What is the most depressing song you can hear in a grocery store? I have two, and I would love to hear what you have to say, Amanda, but I have two. One is, and this is one of the most depressing songs I've ever heard, Set the Night to Music by Roberta Flack. It's such an odd, I don't know what it is, but the song makes me not want to live, but it just, I just kind of like, I hear that song and I'm like, I think I'm just going to turn in for the night because the rest of the night is Set the Night to Music. It's the most, it gets in your head. It's one of those songs you can't let go of. It's not like it's even a horrible song. I love Killing Me Softly. It's nothing against Roberta Flack. I hate that song. The other one I hear, and you can laugh a minute. You're like covering up. You're like, you don't want to laugh.
It's That's habit. It's habit.
I know you do. All right. So the other one is something like Thriller. When I hear a song that people used to go crazy for at high school dances I went to, and was so full of youthful energy, and you'd flip out when you heard it on the radio or at a dance or whatever, and now you're just a schlub walking down the aisles buying soup or something in the grocery store.
And why is soup sad?
it's the alliteration. It's sad soup. I don't know what it is. I just don't. It really depresses me because it was such a iconic thing back in the day when I was younger. And now it's like, I don't know. I find it very depressing. But Marinette in particular, and if there are Marinette people listening, would love to know what you think. I don't know where they find these songs, but I hear these songs on the radio. I'm like, oh, I kind of remember that. Yeah. That I never needed to hear it again. I don't know where they're unearthing these tunes to set a sidetrack or a soundtrack for my shopping. But that is tonight's question, folks. What's the most depressing song you can hear in a grocery store? I know that's kind of specific, but have fun with it. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know, and you can also drop us a stream text if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or is it X? What do you call it, X or you call it Twitter?
I refuse to call it the other one. It's always Twitter.
X is lame. Twitter was great because you could say, I'm going to tweet.
Yeah.
Well, you can't. What do you, I'm going to X.
Yeah.
It's just stupid.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, whatever you call it, it's great to have you watching the show. Let us know what you think, your most depressing song that you can possibly hear in a grocery store, and I will read it on the radio. Our second guest of the night, folks, this is fun. Al has been on the show a few times. Al Petrelli, the guitarist and musical director for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. They're gearing up for another tour. We're going to tell you where you can get tickets. We'll talk to Al a little bit about his music. He's a really fun interview. Steve Segrin, Al Petrelli, a great question. What more could you need? You don't need the Packers, folks. Stay with me. It's Pete Schwab and Nightline. I'm coming right back to read your texts and tell you that you can no longer kiss someone's grits. We're coming right back.
Shakedown 1970.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drugged driving, and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. A shared message from the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Though.
That's mine.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabba. That is a song that Amanda never needs to hear again, or a song that she does not need to hear in a grocery store.
It makes you think of sad animals.
Yeah, I know.
Do you not remember her with all those sad, like, if we're just 5 cents a day, you could save this starving dog.
Was that what that's from?
I'm pretty sure.
Sally Struthers?
No, Sarah McLachlan did like a whole bunch of
them. Oh, that was Sarah McLachlan.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Of course. Well, that's a good one, and that's sad. That's going to make you even sadder. So that is our question tonight, folks. Name a depressing song, something you don't want to hear when you're in the grocery store. And this happened to me recently. I posted it on Facebook, and I got a lot of people. I named the song, and people, Corey Hartman wrote out the lyrics. He knew exactly the song. He read my mind. It was a Steve Winwood song. And I'm not anti-Steve Winwood, but anyway. Hey, folks, if you missed Idea Fest last night here at Civic Media, sponsored by the Cap Times, in conjunction, am I saying that right, with Civic Media, you can catch it tomorrow night. Last night, Tony Evers was on the show. And tomorrow night, right here, we will not be on live on the radio. We are putting a best of Green. We will be on live, actually, in Green Bay. We have a best of show with our new Green Bay personalities, Dan Marcus, Eric Westfall, and Laura McKenna. So we will be on in the Green Bay market. Some sort of a pre-recorded show, if you will, and Idea Fest will be on the rest of the network. The Cap Times does a great job, and Tim Walz will be on tomorrow to talk about the state of politics in the Upper Midwest. Fun show. We'll be here, though, too. If you need some nightlight, we'll be splitting time like we did last night as well. So Flo is gone. Do you remember Flo, Amanda?
From Progressive?
No. Oh, man. No. She's still very much with us. Flo was a character on Alice, which was a show in the 70s. And Flo was a saucy, sassy waitress who would tell customers, she'd say, "Kiss my grits." And it became like a big, I think there were like t-shirts and everything. She passed away at the age of 88 a couple days ago. She was the last surviving member of Alice. And I didn't watch the show a lot, but that's how popular this phrase was. Even though I wasn't a huge Alice fan, I knew about Flo and I knew about the phrase. So she will be, should I say she'll be missed? I forgot she was alive, so I don't know if she'll be missed, but she had a great career.
She's missed by someone.
She's missed by someone. And if you're watching on the stream, there's Kiss My Grits right now.
Grits will never be the same.
Yeah, absolutely not. Daniel Berry, Sports Highlights. Happy Thursday. Hello, everyone. Happy Thursday, Daniel. I love that name. Daniel Berry, Sports Highlights. That's his handle. Mike Desitel says, Ralphie, how's Rocktoberfest looking for you this year? He is talking to our first guest, Steve Segrin, who is not with us yet, but he'll be here shortly. I should say that Steve and I have known each other a long time. We did stand up together. He was one of my idols when I started, and I was never able to quite emulate Steve, but I did work with him in a movie that I've talked about from time to time on the show, The Godfather of Green Bay. Steve was very, very funny, and he's an accomplished actor. Aside from The Godfather of Green Bay, Mike also says, I don't want to hear Sentimental Journey by Doris Day in a grocery store or anywhere, but I do like Doris. I like that song. Anything, I can take the crooners anywhere. Give me Sinatra, Tony Bennett, Doris Day. Give me some Patsy Cline. But I respect that. That's a good text, Mike. Thank you, sir, for weighing in. Hey, we've got a giveaway we can do tonight, too. This is a really cool thing. Ben Giles, our pal from Oshkosh, has put together the funniest comedian, Oshkosh's funniest comedian contest. And Josh Blue will be headlining the show. It takes place September 13th. That's this Saturday at 7 p.m. I'll be hosting something over here at the Tarleton, so I can't be there. But Ben, this is a great contest. It's been going on for months. The headliner on Saturday will be Josh Blue. It starts at 7 p.m. We are giving two tickets away. If you text us, what should we make the keyword? Funny? Comedian?
Oshkosh.
Oshkosh. Text in the word Oshkosh, and we've got two tickets for a really enjoyable night this Saturday night at the Oshkosh Arena. That sounds so intimidating for stand-up comedy, the Oshkosh Arena. But I think they block part of it off. But Ben is a great guest. He's been on the show before. Text us, and we have two tickets for you to see the finale. Months in the making, folks. Our question of the night, as I mentioned, is what's the most depressing song you can hear in a grocery store? And we're getting some texts rolling in. Mike already said Doris Day. What is the name of the song you picked?
Angel by Sarah McLachlan, I think.
Angel, okay. I said Set the Night to Music and Thriller. Two very different songs. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says the Banana Boat song. Deo, he say Deo, although Beetlejuice made it fun. That would actually put some pepper in my step if I heard that song in a grocery store, I think.
It's one of those that kind of just forces your body to move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, Tyler's got his opinions. Thank you, Tyler. Paula, Conrad's mom, loved that she's checking in, even on a night when her son is probably behaving irresponsibly. Paula, let's be honest. I'm kidding. Conrad is probably tailgating right now and having a blast over at Lambeau Field. Paula says, I agree with Amanda. Every time that commercial about animals comes on, I mute it or change the channel. Yeah, it's all coming back to me now. That is a very depressing commercial. In fact, you almost want to give them money just to never put the commercial on again.
Just 5 cents a day.
Why are you muting the mic when you laugh?
You have to stop.
Conrad laughs. That's why people love Conrad. If you ever want to be like Conrad, and who doesn't? I'm just kidding. Amanda Nimmer filling in for Conrad tonight, working the board. Give her a shout out, folks. Barb from Waukesha. I think we have our winner for the two free tickets to Oshkosh's Funniest Comedian. Barb texted in Oshkosh. Barb, we will get your, we need Barb's email.
Her email and phone number.
Email and phone number, please, Barb, and we will get those tickets to you. Anna says, I wouldn't want to hear Tears in Heaven by Eric Clapton. I never want to hear that song again, Anna. That's a great choice. Steve Segrin is coming up next to make the popcorn pick of the week. It's a Thursday night edition of Nightlight, and it's great to have you here, folks. Amanda Nimmer's here. What could be better? Coming right back. Baby. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, filling in for James Kelly. Wisconsin Republicans are working on education bills that would encourage school districts to consolidate, especially in rural areas, establish statewide standards on student discipline, and overhaul how teachers teach kids math. These bills aren't even drafted yet, so there weren't a ton of details available at a press conference this week. But Republicans in the Assembly focused heavily on districts with declining enrollment and declining funding. One of their big solutions is to encourage more districts to combine. There are more than 400 of them across Wisconsin, and record numbers of them are going to referendum, asking residents to increase their own taxes just to keep the district afloat. Representative Amanda Nedweski from Pleasant Prairie.
Consolidation has long-term positive effects on both students and taxpayers. So we need to stop the cycle of never-ending referendums. Now, Democrats might argue that the solution is simply to throw more money at the problem, but it does not solve the issue that there are just less kids being born today.
School advocates and administrators say declining enrollment isn't the problem. It's the formula itself and a lack of funding from lawmakers. State school aid has not kept up with inflation for more than a decade. Republicans' plans also include revamping the math curriculum and what they're calling a teacher's bill of rights, which they say would standardize discipline for students. They also want Wisconsin to opt in to a federal school choice program passed as part of President Donald Trump's Big Beautiful Bill earlier this year. Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer criticized Republicans' plans, saying, quote, Republicans' K-12 education plans won't address the challenges facing working families or give our kids the opportunities they deserve. We shouldn't be talking about consolidating districts. We should be investing in our local schools, end quote. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, filling in for James Kelly. You're listening to Civic Media News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives star and founder of the soft swinging group on TikTok called Mom Talk will be the new Bachelorette. Taylor Frankie Paul will have her pick of men on national television. But be careful, attention-seeking hot guys, because she is no stranger to scandal. Paul, the mother of two, confessed that she and other couples in the community were soft swingers, meaning she and her husband regularly made out with other couples. Once you get a look at Taylor Frankie Paul, you'll realize why all the other husbands wanted a French kisser. In addition to two hot first names, she has perfect eyebrows. According to the New York Post, the soft swinging resulted in a pregnancy for Paul by another husband. That must have been some kiss. Beware though, Bachelor, she was also charged with a third-degree felony for throwing something at her first husband that accidentally hit her child. Don't worry, the charges were dismissed, paving the way for Paul to choose another potential baby daddy on national TV. I think I'm in love. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, patchy fog by dawn and lows in the mid-50s. Turning mostly sunny for tomorrow, highs warmer, low 80s. Slight storm chance Friday night. 80s continue with sunshine this weekend. Another storm chance Sunday night and Monday. Right now it's 73.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I love Angela Lang, and I think Dan Schaefer is great. Dan Schaefer could replace me in a heartbeat. Angela Lang could replace me in a heartbeat. There are so many more talented people. I'm the only one willing to get up before 4 a.m. to do this show. You get the guy old enough to have to wake up and pee, and that's the whole business model behind this show. You're welcome, Mr. and Ms. Middle America.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Friday brings our Week in Review panel to, you know, review the week, as well as a review of the Packers' performance on a short week against Washington.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. I am Pete Schwabba. And ladies and gentlemen, this is exciting. One of my favorite times of the week. It is time for the popcorn pick of the week.
It's time for the night. It's time for the Nightlight popcorn pick of the week, where we recommend a movie that you'll either enjoy or won't. Here's your host, Pete Schwabba.
That's on me. I should have gone over that with you. Amanda drove all the way to be here, just so we could stay on the air tonight.
Before anyone's like, Amanda can't run the board. No, I can't. They changed everything.
It's a new board.
It's a different board from the last time I was here.
It's not even spelled right. It's spelled B-O-R-E-D now. That's how different it is. And she's trying to adjust. Folks, this is exciting. It is the popcorn pick of the week. And I am excited to welcome back one of my friends. He's one of the funniest people I've ever known or worked with. He was a great comedian, is a fine actor. And now has added painting to his resume. The multi-talented Mr. Steve Segrin is here to make the popcorn pick. Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing. It's good to see you. Thanks for doing this, Steve.
Yeah, well, you know, what else do I got to do? I got nothing to do.
That's the spirit. That's the attitude I love for my guests. I had nothing better to do. Steve, we got a few things to talk about, but let's jump right in and do this popcorn thing. Let's talk some movies.
Okay.
How do you, we've talked movies over the years, and I love talking movies with you because on car rides or whatever it was to stand-up gigs, I remember we had a laugh once over the movie True Believer, and the store was called Arts, Arts Supplies, and they were looking for art supply.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
For whatever reason, that floored you, and you kept talking about it, and you won me over, and I couldn't stop laughing. But we share a love of a lot of the same films. But how do you typically watch movies, Steve? Are you a theater guy? Do you like to watch them at home?
Usually I watch them at home, but lately I've been going back to the theater.
Nice.
Because it's so hot out here in L.A. that you got to get some air conditioning, you know. So
right, absolutely.
It's a cool, dark place. Yeah.
That's right. So, but air conditioning aside, better climate aside, do you prefer to watch them at home because you're alone? Or are you adverse to watching it with a crowd?
No, it's just, if a movie I want to see is on TV, I'll watch it on TV. Okay. If there's a movie I really want to see right away, I'll go to the theater and see it. And some movies you want to see at a big screen. But, you know, my rule of thumb now is I will not watch anything in the Marvel Universe.
Oh, God, I'm so with you.
I won't watch any DC film, no comic book movies or superhero movies anymore. But or sequels or remakes, like Freakier Friday. How many have they done, like 20?
I know.
It's like I want to see a movie that's got an original idea.
Yes.
You know, something original. And, you know, basically the superhero stuff is the same movie over and over again. It's just the costume changes. That's it. You know,
it's like, it's like with wisecracks and they think they're so funny. And
yeah.
I'm with you. But everything you just said, I don't watch superhero movies, sequels, remakes. That's like you had like two movies this year were your options.
But exactly. That's why I don't go to the theater that much anymore. I've been watching older films. But, I've seen two movies in the theater in the last couple of weeks. So
I do want to say, too, you are every filmmaker's dream. Like, I'll go to the movies if the air conditioning's working. I just.
Yeah.
What do you have?
Well, like, what's fun? Huh?
No. Go ahead. No, please go.
I was going to say, like, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I had to see that in a theater. I had to see that on a big screen. So I went to see that one. And then I saw Anora on the big screen. Yeah. I wanted to see that right away. And then I went to see Weapons, baby. That movie is awesome.
Big fan. Okay.
That's my popcorn pick of the week. If you haven't seen Weapons, go to the theater and see it.
Oh, I.
But
we kind of usually like to build up to that a little bit, but that's okay.
I'll come up with another pick.
No, I never really sent you a format for how we do, but that's totally fine. And that is a great pick, Steve. Did you see Barbarian, which was Zach Cregger's
yes.
first? Yeah.
Yes, I did. I liked that. I didn't like the ending too much, but all the way through up to the ending, I thought it was great.
Yeah. Weapons was so creepy. It was so good. Do you have a favorite type or genre of film you typically like to see, Steve?
Nah, I like sci-fi, but not exclusively, you know. In fact, I made a list of movies that I liked before I came on.
Oh, sweet.
And they're all over the place. They're all over the place. It's like just like horror. There's some sci-fi. There's couple action things, you know.
Nice.
And some indie films that I like a lot. Like I saw East of Wall, which I really liked, but it might be kind of an acquired taste. It's about horse trainers in North Dakota.
Oh, wow.
And the actors are the actual people. You know, it's got a kind of raw feel to it, but it's beautifully shot. And if you like horses, you definitely got to see the movie. But some people won't like it, but I did. I liked it a lot, especially the non-actors acting. It's really good. Very well done.
You know, it's funny you say that because a movie I saw, I was kind of late to the party on the director for Anora. I can't think of his name right now.
Sean Baker.
Sean Baker, yeah. And I saw The Florida Project probably a year ago. And
awesome movie. Loved it.
Steve, one of my top 10, the ending of that movie just broke me. It was not what I was expecting. And it was just, but I love that he used real people and he got these kids to act like these children that don't even look like they're acting. It was a masterpiece.
It's great. And they were acting like kids.
And
the only thing is, you know, William Dafoe is kind of, you know, when he shows up, it's kind of takes you out of it a little bit.
Yeah.
But you get used to him in there. But still, what a great movie. The ending, like you said, it was just perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. And I know it's kind of interesting because you can't film in Disney World. They won't let you if you're going to shoot a movie, right? So when the girls, hopefully I'm giving away the ending, but who cares?
That's okay.
When the girls run off into Disney World, if you notice how that's shot, it looks like I think they're shooting it on a phone and just following them as they run through it, you know? So it's really cool. And it looks really cool. And the ending, when you think about it, it's like, how else would that end? There's no other way it could have ended, really, you know? It's beautiful.
It is. And I kept thinking there's going to be, because the mom was such a mess, I thought this is going to end tragically and it's going to be predictable. And it wasn't. It was like he took it in a whole different direction. I just absolutely love that. And it's funny what you say about Willem Dafoe, who I really like, and I loved him in that role. But you're right. If he wasn't in the film, it might have been even better, even though he was really good. And I'm a fan, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. The neat thing is that it's kind of shot through the kids' eyes. I mean, nothing seems to happen outside of that behind us. You know what am I trying to say? You know, everything happens while the kids are there. They see everything that's happening. It's not like something is happening that they don't see. That's there. It's their world, you know, and they got, you know, I mean, that's why the ending works so well. I think, you know,
so
they live right next to Disney World and they can never go.
Right.
You know, and finally they're like, screw it. Let's go.
We're going to Disney. We're going to make our life fun for a few minutes.
For a few minutes.
So great.
It's great. And then the shot of them running off to the Magic Kingdom is beautiful. I love it. I want to see it again now.
Totally with you. We've got a texter. Joseph says, South Dakota native here. East of Wall is set near Wall of Wall Drug fame, South Dakota. I remember going there as a kid, and that's where all the bumper stickers. I've been to Wall Drug. And Joseph says, also agreed, it's a great movie. Okay, thank you, Joseph.
Oh, it's terrific. Terrific movie. Yeah.
You mentioned...
It's beautiful. I like movies that, you know, take me someplace where I've never been or in a world that I don't know anything about. And I don't know anything about training horses or anything like that. And that's why the movie seems so interesting to me.
Totally agree. You know? And especially one, I think you and I both have talked about films like Manhunter or To Live and Die in L.A. I didn't know that was the first movie I've ever seen William Peterson in or John Pankow, the other great Chicago stage actor. And I just felt like those are the movies I can lose myself in, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, you know, William Peterson was also in Thief. He had a small part in Thief.
Yeah, he threw him out of the
he was in a bar.
Hey, pal.
Yeah, and so was Yeah. So it's what's his name from NYPD Blue? Dennis Franz.
Dennis Franz. That's right. Our mutual friend Mike Schmidt said William Peterson says the word pal better than anybody in cinema history.
Yeah,
and it's such a Mike observation. I love that so much. My guest is Steve Segrin. He is a comedian, actor, and artist. We have some of Steve's paintings we'll put up here in the stream shortly. We're doing the popcorn pick of the week with Steve. And before I ask you about snacks, Steve, I got to ask you, you said Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was a movie you wanted to see in the theater.
Yeah.
To me, when I saw that, I knew nothing about it. And I left the theater going, I think I really like that. I dragged my son Joe the next day. We went to see it. And it's my favorite Tarantino movie. I just think it's so great.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah.
Mine too. It's the best thing he did since Pulp Fiction, I think. But other people would argue that. But
sure.
Yeah, when I went to see it and it ended, I could have watched another hour of it.
Me too.
You know, I could like keep going. And the ending was so weird too, Pete, because it put me in this weird emotional place, like, you know, oh wow, they stopped Charles Manson.
You know?
That's great. You know, Sharon Tate is still alive. That's wonderful. But then it's sadness too, because it's not true.
Right.
You know, but you want it to be, you know?
Yeah. Thus the title. Yeah. It's a fairy tale.
It's a fairy tale. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was,
and I like that he did that. Like, he's like, ah, screw the facts.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. What I want to do, what I would like to have seen happen. I like that. It takes some courage, and I thought that was pretty cool. He did it. He kind of did that in the Inglorious Bastards.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
I'm with you though. I could have kept watching. I could have like, what do Leonardo DiCaprio and Sharon Tate do now? I need to see that. You know, like, or
when, oh, yeah, they, right. Yeah.
When they went to the the ranch too to see Bruce Dern, I was so mad at myself. I'm like, because I had heard of that place. And I was in L.A. for 14 years. I'm like, how did I never go check this out?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was that great of a scene. It was so cool.
Yeah, yeah. It was a Western. Basically, it was a Western.
Yeah.
They were in an old Western thing, and he's walking down this main street, almost like a showdown. It's really good. It was
really good.
They kept cutting back to Leonardo DiCaprio filming a Western. It was terrific.
Right. Which, all those scenes I love, too. He was great, too. Okay, so Steve, what is your favorite movie snack, whether you're in the theater or at home?
I like popcorn.
Popcorn.
I'm boring.
Okay. No, that's good. Most people say
some chocolate. Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask if you like Goobers. They're hard to find still, but I had them a few weeks ago in a movie, and I loved it despite the horrible name.
I was never a Goober fan, really.
Okay.
But I wouldn't turn down a Goober.
If it's a free goober, is it still? I mean, if it's free, it's me.
If you come at me with a goober, I won't say no.
I can pretty much assure you right now, I will never come at you with a goober, Steve, just out of respect for our friendship. And, you know,
all right.
I'd buy you some snow caps, though, or something. What do you
snow caps? I like those.
Yeah, snow caps are great. Like you said, anything chocolate I go for. But,
yeah.
So, what about at, you know, you've been known to knock back a few scotches. You used to go by, you had a moniker called Cop Scotch, one of the funniest things in stand-up I've ever seen. all right, we're going to do a quick break. Then we'll come back and we'll get Steve's other popcorn pick of the week. And we'll refresh you on what his first one was because it was so great. And I'm going to tell you about Cop Scotch and ask Steve what is his beverage of choice now when he watches a movie. Hey, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. It's the popcorn pick of the week coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month.
Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-859-3220. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-859-3220. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-859-3220. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-859-3220 or biglou.com.
And welcome back to our true crime podcast. Our guest today is Sean Cleary.
Wait, what? We are supposed to be doing a commercial about Cleary's storage, egg, and sports facilities.
Great point, Sean. It was a warm summer evening in 1978 when a young man with a hammer...
Whoa, again, not a true crime podcast. I want to talk about Cleary designing the building of your dreams.
In a world where things aren't what they seem.
Okay, give me that. Good grief. Visit ClaryBuilding.com today and experience the Cleary difference.
Does Donald Trump's big bill provide the largest federal spending cut in U.S. history? No. Spending cuts in the bill that Trump signed wouldn't be the largest ever, despite claims by Republican U.S. Representative Scott Fitzgerald. The original House version would have nominally cut over $1.6 trillion over 10 years. The final version cut even less, $1.2 trillion. With $4.5 trillion in tax cuts, the act will increase federal debt by a massive $3.3 trillion over the next decade. Nonpartisan analysts say the plan's cuts would rank behind a 2011 law's $2 trillion in spending cuts. As a percentage of GDP, it doesn't rank in the top 5%. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Looking to give back to your community? Visit VolunteerWisconsin.org to find volunteer opportunities near you. Join us in celebrating United Ways Month by getting involved. Visit VolunteerWisconsin.org or contact your local United Way today. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Popcorn Pick Thursday night. Coming up at 7:35, our pal Al Petrelli from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra will be here to talk about some upcoming shows here in Wisconsin. Al's always fun to talk to. He fits right. He's from Jersey, Amanda. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not.
Yeah, but he's kind of Jersey. Like, yeah. But right now we are talking to my pal Steve Segrin, who joins us over the stream from beautiful... Are you in Venice, Steve, or Santa Monica?
In Marina Del Rey now.
Oh, Marina Del Rey. Okay.
You got just south of Venice.
Got the rent control out there?
Yeah, I guess. Still high.
Still high. No kidding. It's great to have you here, Steve. We talked about Steve's popcorn pick. He gave us a teaser earlier. We're gonna delve into that again and find out. He said he had another one he could provide us with too. So two for the price of one tonight. I was asking Steve before the break. You used to do this character called Cop Scotch. It was one of the most quotable things in comedy for people in our group. Do you still drink scotch?
No, I don't drink anymore, really. I kind of outgrew
what?
It. Just lost my taste for it.
Oh, wow. That's
I'll have a drink once in a while. Like I'm going out to dinner with a bunch of guys in a couple of weeks, and I'll probably have some wine. Maybe I'll have a scotch, but I just, I don't drink that much anymore.
Are you doing that steak thing again? You guys go to that steakhouse in Koreatown?
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
I see those pictures, and I just get a pain in my stomach. I mean, I was never invited, but I, I would have loved to have attended.
Well, if you were here, you'd definitely be invited. So I'll
tell you, I haven't had a drink in almost 3 years either, and it's not like a court order or anything. I just decided to kind of take a break and see what happens, and I love it. I don't know. Do you feel great?
Yeah, I actually feel a lot better. I wake up in the morning feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
And, the thing is, I think about things I did when I was drinking. I'm like, oh, my God, what was I thinking? Oh, I can't believe I did that.
Thank God there wasn't social media back then.
Yeah. But it's not like there was ever a problem. What I mean? I wasn't getting DUIs or, I can't say I was an alcoholic and I had to go to AA or anything like that. And I'm lucky because, it was easy for me to quit. It was during COVID, actually. It's just, I wasn't going out and I just kind of stopped doing it. I didn't like it anymore. So I just stopped.
I got really into whiskey my last few years in LA and I was making money and I was buying great stuff. And then I moved back here and I had to trim something from the budget. And I'm like, all right, well, Kessler's isn't so bad, but it kind of like with me, it was the same thing. Like I loved having a cocktail at night, but I was just like, all right, it does get to be expensive though, too, if you drink the good stuff.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Yeah. And also, since I'm not doing stand up anymore, I got to pay for drinks. Did I ever tell you the story about the, when I worked at the, I think it was the Funny Bone in Green Bay.
No,
it was just filling in for one night.
Okay.
Somebody canceled and I went up to fill in. I'd never worked there before. And, so they usually give me three drinks, four drinks free.
Yeah.
And, so I asked for a scotch and the guy said, what do you want? And I went, just whatever the well is. And he goes, we got Johnny Walker Black, which was a high class scotch at the time. And I'm like, well, that's okay. Sure, I'll have one. I was drinking Johnny Walker Black. I had like three or four of them. The next day, I'm gone. And they instituted the Steve Segrin rule. No top shelf scotch for any comic.
That is so lame.
Yeah, I was just there for one night.
I don't blame you for that either. That's Bush League, what that guy did to you.
But you got something named after you.
Yeah, that's true. You got it became
true.
A thing.
Yeah.
Silver linings.
Yeah. Where are you working? Green Bay Funny Bone. Thanks for nothing, Segrin.
But I think it was also partially due to the fact that Lewis Black was there the week before, and he was a big Scotch guy,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah.
So us two, between the two of us, we probably drank a lot of it.
But they didn't have the guts to go after Lewis Black.
No.
Named Steve Segrin.
They could have named it after him, but they named it after me.
But you're immortal now, so that's pretty cool.
I got a funny story out of it. So.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I think it's time we get Steve's actual... Do you have a drum roll ready, Amanda?
It's not necessary.
If Conrad did not leave it...
Oh, you got it.
All right, fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Segrin is here. He is about to make the popcorn pick of the week. Amanda, if you please. Steve Segrin, what is your popcorn pick of the week?
Okay, this is a movie that came out, I think, 2 years ago, maybe. And it's streaming. It's on Hulu. It's called Presence. It's directed by Steven Soderbergh.
It's
a ghost story. And the cool twist in this one is the ghost is the camera. It's all shot through the ghost's point of view. It's pretty cool.
Wow, I love stuff like that when a director does something. I have not seen that.
The funny thing is, I almost wish I didn't say that because it took me about 20 minutes to figure it out. I'm like, oh, I'm the ghost. But it's really good. It's Soderbergh, you know.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's a cool little movie called Presence. Hey, you got the little thing.
Yeah,
all right.
Amanda's got the poster up there, wasting no time. If you're watching on the stream, you can see the poster. That's creepy for some reason, and I don't know why.
Streaming on Hulu. So it's good. Good popcorn movie, I think.
A great popcorn movie. Thank you, Stephen. What is the one you said before, too? You said that was...
Oh, Weapons?
Weapons. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been talking about that movie a lot, folks. If you haven't seen Weapons, Steve, that is his co-pick of the week. I thought it was great, too. I actually did like Barbarian a little bit better, Steve, I will say. But
did you really?
Kind of, yeah. I loved when they all of a sudden Justin Long, they go to L.A. and I'm like, what the hell is this? Like, I thought they made like an editing error or something. But
yeah.
No, and then he shows up and I thought that was really cool.
The ending of Weapons just knocked me out. It was great. I went to see it again. I saw it twice. But the less you know about the movie,
yes,
the better it is.
Agreed. So, all right, Steve, yeah. can you stick around for a few minutes after the news?
What? Yes.
All right. I'm going to show you some of Steve's artwork when we come back, and we're going to talk about movies and a TV show that we both enjoyed. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight. We're coming back for Act Two after this. Don't go anywhere, folks. We're having fun on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The FBI releasing photos of a person of interest in connection with the fatal shooting of conservative activist Charlie Kirk at a campus event at Utah Valley University. It shows a young man wearing a hat, sunglasses, and a T-shirt that appear to have an American flag on it. And says ABC's Alex Stone.
Sources tell ABC News three unspent cartridges were found in the shooter's bolt-action rifle and that they had wording on them expressing what some law enforcement officials described as transgender and anti-fascist ideology on them.
President Trump announcing he'll posthumously award Kirk the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the nation's highest civilian honor. Across the country, several historically black colleges and universities went on lockdown following a series of threats, and the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland, currently on lockdown out of, quote, an abundance of caution. 24 years after the September 11th attacks, memorial services today in New York and at the Pentagon. This is ABC News.